attend the session of this church with the opportunity to report on our work in Japan. In May of this year, we completed our fifth term of service, which makes about 28 years as your missionaries in Japan. Having completed 9 years of service in full-time teaching at Kobe Reformed Theological Seminary in Kobe, which is down here, we then moved to about the middle of the island. That's kind of the western sector. We moved up here to the middle of the island to the city of Numazu, which is located right there, almost all the way back to Tokyo, but not quite. The city of Numazu is almost in the shadow of Mount Fuji. It's on a decent day, it's Mount Fuji looms large from where we are. My primary work has been at the chapel, the Kitanumazu Chapel of the Reformed Church in Japan. It's a chapel that actually has about 30 members now, and this building was constructed, and the chapel was first founded about 35 years ago by the Japan Mission of the Christian Reformed Church. As the CRC began winding down its mission work in Japan about 10 years ago, the mission work, this chapel, transferred its membership from the CRC into the Eastern Presbytery of the Reformed Church in Japan. The RCJ, as we refer to the Reformed Church, is the denomination that our mission has worked with for over 60 years, since just after the Second World War. And it's the Japanese church that the OPC has its closest sister relationship to. In 2006, my full-time work at the Kobe Reformed Theological Seminary, I was a professor of biblical studies there, that full-time work came to an end, and the mission adopted a plan for me to work as the missionary responsible for ministry at the Kitanumazu Chapel, while continuing to do part-time seminary teaching as well. This division of labor, with primarily doing evangelism but also teaching in the seminary, has continued throughout the recent term that just completed, which lasted almost 5.5 years. Ministry at Numazu has included leading the worship services, preaching, evangelistic outreach, and preparing the chapel to become an organized congregation, and seeking all the while to help the congregation to understand and to embrace the Reformed faith. Over the past 5 years of ministry at Kitanumazu, I preached through the book of Matthew. Then I preached a series on Reformed worship, laying out the theology of worship and also the biblical bases for each of the ordinary and special parts of the worship services, from the call to worship through the benediction. Finally, as this term on the field ended, I preached about a third of the way through the book of Luke and intend to continue that when I return next January. I make it a point as I preach to emphasize teaching in the Westminster Standards that is supported by the particular passage in Scripture that I'm expounding. The goal is to preach Christ and His message and to persuade the members and the inquirers alike to embrace the faith which we believe the Lord Himself taught to the Jews, namely the Reformed faith. In addition to preaching, I've also been responsible for administering the sacraments. We celebrate the Lord's Supper each month, and each time we read from the Westminster Standards a portion of its summary of the teaching of Scripture on the Lord's Supper. Since arrival in February of 2007, 13 people have been baptized upon their professions of faith, including 3 teenagers from a family with the last name of Otake, who, in spite of their Japanese last name, are actually from a Roman Catholic background in Peru. One of their grandfathers had gave them that the Otake name, was an immigrant from Japan a couple of generations back. Additionally, 4 adults have been received as members from other churches, and 4 have transferred out of our church to other churches, and meanwhile, 4 have been removed from the roll for non-attendance. In preparing Japanese unbelievers for baptism, we utilize a recently completed but as yet unpublished translation of Confessing Christ. I think I saw that on your back table there, so I expect that your pastor, like most OPC pastors, utilize that in preparing people for church membership, professions of faith, or adult baptism. This new and greatly improved translation was prepared by our missionary in Yamagata, Kōji Higashi. The Japanese version of Confessing Christ includes a chapter that you won't find in the original edition of Confessing Christ. It focuses on something that is essentially presupposed in the English, but cannot be presupposed or assumed in the Japanese cultural context. And that is that we have added a chapter, kind of a preface, which we entitled The One True God Whom We Confess. In the Japanese culture, the term God tends to communicate to the average Japanese little more than the ghost of a dead ancestor or a local deity. And so it's very important to lay out an understanding of the God of the Bible before you begin to talk about other issues in Japan. When preparing people for professions of faith and baptism, I always emphasize the keeping of the Sabbath, attendance at worship, and with young people, I emphasize this confession's teaching on marriage, namely that it is the duty of Christians to marry only in the Lord, and therefore such as profess the true Reformed religion should not marry with infidels, papists, or other idolaters. Neither should such as are godly be unequally yoked by marrying with such as are notoriously wicked in their life or maintain damnable heresies. We would ask for prayer for many visitors and inquirers who come to the worship services and to other meetings, some regularly and some occasionally. Just to name a few names, we have Mr. Tomimoto, Mr. Segami, Mr. and Mrs. Yamada, Mr. and Mrs. Hara, Mr. Sei, who is the husband of a member, his mother, Mr. Wada, Mr. Ishida, about whom I will speak a little bit more later, Mrs. Okota, and Mrs. Kitamiya and her daughter, Mana, or granddaughter, Mana, who are here. Also, there is Mr. Ikea, Mrs. Katsumata, Mr. Nagahama, Mrs. Wakabayashi, and pictured in this picture, Mr. Endo. Also in this picture, in addition to Mr. Endo, who is the Japanese man on the left, there are four Indonesians to the right. Our church has had the, kind of an unusual, at least for Japan, it's an unusual opportunity presented by a factory nearby, about a 15-minute bicycle ride away from our church. There's a factory that has a regular program of bringing over Indonesians who've learned a little bit of rudimentary Japanese. And they work for 2 to 3 years in the factory, ostensibly to get training and probably also to provide cheap labor for the factory. But the Indonesians are delighted to do that. And the Christians among them, Indonesians are more Muslim than they are Christian, and so there are always Muslims as well that come. But the Christians among them somehow, well before I came, began coming to our church. Even though they're Lutherans and various other denominations represented, they have made it a habit to come to our church for worship. So at any given time, we usually have 2, 3, 4 Indonesians attending our worship services as well. Usually, their Japanese never gets really good enough to truly understand what's going on in a sermon. But this young man was an exception. He came from a Lutheran background. And he had pretty reasonably good English when he arrived. He obviously was talented in languages. And he worked very hard at his Japanese and really was understanding Japanese sermons. He learned enough of the Chinese characters that he was able to, in our men's group, we have like a reading thing once a month where we read through Christian books. And he was able to handle a lot of the Chinese characters in that and obviously was understanding what was going on. He really made music to our hearts over the last half a year before he returned to Indonesia this past January. Repeatedly, he said to various people in the church and to myself that even though he was from a Lutheran church, when he went back, he was going to find a Reformed church in Indonesia to go to. So it's obvious that the message was getting through to him. In addition, we would ask prayer for Dr. and Mrs. Hayakawa and their 5 children. Some of them will appear in a later picture here. They attend various meetings on occasion, and occasionally they come to worship services. And also Mr. and Mrs. Ichikawa, another family from Peru, and their two children. Please also pray for three high school age young people who come to our youth activities and occasionally have come to worship services as well. We have Boone, whose parents are both from Thailand, Kyohei, whose parents are both Japanese, and Jeffrey, whose father is Japanese but has left them, he's divorced from them, his mother is Filipino. Pray for these inquirers, both young and old, that they may come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Among regular outreach activities that we have designed in order to seeking to bring new people into contact with the gospel and to introduce them to the church, we hold a monthly ladies' cooking class, which is pictured here. After every cooking class, preparing the food, while the food is cooking in the oven, we have a 10-minute Bible message while the cooking is going on.
My notes didn't have it that well.
Sorry about that. I told you I added it. Of course, once the food is cooked and the Bible message is over, then we have a meal together as well. So, another evangelistic meeting, one that we didn't plan but God did, was an English Bible class. Now, I should preface my remarks by saying that historically, I have tried to avoid English Bible teaching in Japan because most Japanese, their English language level is sufficiently low, especially after they've been out of school for a while, that you spend all your time explaining words and grammar and never really get to the point. And so it's kind of frustrating in terms of seeking to preach the gospel. So typically when people come wanting to say, can I study English Bible with you? Usually I say, well, let's have it just to do English for an hour, and then we'll do 10 minutes of Bible in Japanese. And that way they understand. But this class, the person came and really wanted to study English Bible. And so we began the class, but after about the first couple of times, she could see and I could see and that it just was not working. And so she quit. But in the meantime, several other people had begun coming to the class. And within a few months, we had an attendance that was ranging from 10 to 14 in this class. All of the unbelievers who attend are sufficiently competent in English such that there is almost never need for me to explain words or grammar in Japanese. It's truly amazing. I've never seen anything like it in Japan. Dr. Hayakawa, who is seated on the far right there just in front of me, Dr. Hayakawa and his three oldest children, whom I can identify here, his oldest son, his next child's son, Daichi, and then his daughter, Sakura. These three are coming. Daichi, I might mention, just in May, he was in Washington along with two of his family members, courtesy of the Japan Times, which is an English language newspaper in Japan. They held a spelling bee nationwide in Japan that encompassed all of the international schools in Japan, which are English-speaking, and then also all of the U.S. military-based junior highs, and as well as, like his is a Japanese, but it's a bilingual school where he goes. Anyway, he won the nationwide spelling bee that was sponsored by the Japan Times, and then they paid for himself and for two of his family members to go to Washington for the national spelling bee. He got as far as the semifinals in the nationwide spelling bee. So his English, needless to say, is probably better than his Japanese, frankly. He's really very good. All of theirs is. They have a great deal of understanding of the Bible in English and Japanese. In addition to the Hayakawas, Mr. Nagahama, who is seated just in front of Dr. Hayakawa, and also Mr. Tomimoto, who is just behind the lady in red here, Mr. Tomimoto. Those six individuals, also attend worship services in English and Japanese from time to time as well. So this outreach has really been effective in not only bringing people into the English class, but also into contact with the church as a whole as well in worship services. In English Bible class, we went through the entire book of Romans. Sounds as if you're doing that in your preaching here. And then we began the Gospel according to Luke. We're about halfway through the Gospel of Luke at this point. Only two of the 10 to 14 who usually attend this class, I'm sorry about the quality of the picture on this one, but this is one of the classes, only two are members of the church and are baptized. The rest are non-Christians who are coming to the class. In addition to the English Bible class, we also hold an English worship service once a month. In that meeting, I've been preaching through the Gospel of John. The entire service is held in English, but one of my sons, originally at the beginning, 4.5 years ago, it was my son Jonathan, who's now just finished his second year in college, and then after Jonathan went off to college, my son Daniel does interpretation of the message part, not the rest of the service, just the message, from English into Japanese, so that everyone who comes, regardless of ability in English, will at least have understood the gospel message in the preaching. I would highlight one individual who began coming, very first English worship service, he got the publicity that we had distributed, and he began coming, and he's been very faithful at attending the English monthly English worship services. But at the very beginning, Mr. Ishida said, "I'm only here to learn English." He emphasized that. He now attends Japanese services faithfully each week. He's been doing that for almost a year. And as of the first of the year, he came. We have every New Year's in Japan is a very it's like Christmas or Thanksgiving in the U.S. and the families get together. And but at our church, because of the people that the Lord has sent our way, we have a number of people who don't really have any family to go back to. So after a morning worship service on New Year's Day, assuming we're in the country, sometimes we've gone back to the U.S. to visit family, but when we're in the country, we have a worship service on New Year's morning. And then at lunchtime, we put on a meal for anyone who's come to the service and wants to stay, and that provides those people in the church who don't really have family with an opportunity to get together with our family. And so at this past New Year's Day luncheon afterwards, when we were having an opportunity for sort of New Year's resolution type of talk, Mr. Ishida announced to everyone that he's now reading his Bible daily, and that he was determined that he would begin for the new year to attend all of the prayer meetings on Wednesday night and morning prayer meetings as well. And he has been good to his word. He comes to prayer meetings faithfully on Wednesday evenings, usually attends our early morning Tuesday and Friday prayer meetings as well. And in the prayer meetings, his prayers are very heartfelt. And so when I first arrived here in Northern California, I began asking that people would pray that he would embrace Christ publicly and receive baptism, because it seemed that he was close. About 4 days ago, I got an email message from one of the members in the congregation saying that he has announced that he's ready to be baptized and wants to prepare. So the Japanese retired pastor who has assumed Lord's Day responsibilities in my absence will be preparing him for baptism. So praise God for that. At the invitation of another local pastor, who's seated on our right, I have had the privilege of doing one or two evangelistic radio messages each year. His church has a program twice a month on Saturdays, right at dinner time, so it's kind of an ideal time for reaching people. And it's broadcast on the only radio station in our city of Numazu. Our junior high and senior high youth group began about 2 years ago, just before Jonathan left for Grove City College. In addition to our children, who attend that faithfully, two other church members that I mentioned earlier, the Otake boys, originally their parents were from Peru, often attend as well. Beyond that, the group functions as an outreach to youth. We began our twice-a-month meetings, we always begin our twice-a-month meetings with about an hour and a half of games or so. The previous slide was one of those games that my wife and kids found over the internet that involves a generous use of toilet paper. After the hour and a half of games, we have a 20-minute Bible message. And following that, we have a time of refreshments. In May of 2013, this past May, 21 young people, including our regulars who come to that group, 14 from our congregation or visitors to our congregation, mostly unbelievers, gathered together at the church for an overnight, along with six people from another church and then a friend of our kids from down in Kobe. So a total of 21, 24 hours together, and we not only had fun and games, as this was at a local park, we played Capture the Flag. I don't think that any of them had ever played that game before, but had a great time. We also had 2 one-hour-long messages on the book of Daniel, one on Daniel 1 and one on Daniel 3. And the theme was, do you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind? I followed up the messages on the retreat with the Lord's Day. It was a Friday-Saturday retreat. Then the next day on Sunday, I preached from Daniel 4, again on the same theme. And three of the unbelievers from the retreat also attended worship that morning. In addition to our regular weekly and monthly outreach activities, we've held special activities, special evangelistic outreach activities, usually one, two, or three maybe per year. This was probably the most notable. Four Covenanter young ladies came over. Covenanter is the Reformed Presbyterian Church. They came over very, very talented at string. And they put on concerts at a local public junior high and at two different local elementary schools. We were pretty limited in what we could say at the public schools, as you might expect, but the seminary student who was traveling with them here was able to talk a little bit about Bach and his faith and that kind of thing, and they sang a few psalms as well and talked about them. But the main thing we did was at the concerts, we handed out invitations for a concert at the church. And so after handing out those invitations, also in the neighborhood around the church, we had a church concert, and the room was packed out with people from the neighborhood, including elementary school and junior high students who had brought their parents. There, of course, we were able to have preaching as well as excellent music. Each year we have a Christmas outreach for the young people. We hand out invitations at local elementary schools and then have a Saturday, typically a Saturday Christmas party for the kids, again with preaching as well, talking about the birth of Christ. This past year's children's Christmas program led to a new family, the Ichikawas, coming. Their daughter received an invitation. She was a fifth grade student at elementary school. And although they are not yet members, she's the one on the left, they're the daughter on the left, our left, the Ichikawa family began attending worship services and also some of the other activities as well. They are about 10 years back immigrants from Peru. The parents are stronger in Spanish than they are in Japanese. So ministry to the parents has been quite a bit of a challenge. When I have anything serious to say, I either have to go through the children who serve as interpreters. I don't speak any Spanish. But also, I've had a great deal of help from Steve Larson, who is a pastor down in the Southern California Presbytery and long Spanish language ministry in Los Angeles. And then most recently, he was in Uruguay with the OPC Foreign Missions Program. The Spanish is excellent. And he has ministered directly to Mr. and Mrs. Ichikawa over Skype, and that has been a big help. We also have a special evangelistic service with a guest preacher every year. Before all of these activities, we pass out invitations in the community. Earlier this year, having received an invitation from our church, Mr. and Mrs. Maeda, who had about a year earlier moved into our community, began attending our church. Very soon after they began attending, they asked about transferring their membership. Rare opportunity to get a Christian family. And usually we are dealing with people who are unconverted. But they asked about transferring their membership to Stunamazu Church. from an evangelical church in Tokyo, where they were baptized about 10 years earlier. On the last Lord's Day of May, 2 days before I got on the plane to return for furlough, after having studied the mission's new translation of Confessing Christ, the Maedas became the newest members of the Numazu Church. During the course of their study, Mr. Maeda over and over again expressed his deep appreciation for the book Confessing Christ and also the Westminster Shorter Catechism. He said that reading that material had really helped him to understand his Bible in a far deeper way than he had ever been able to before. Please pray that the Lord will raise up men who are qualified for church office. While he has sent many men to our congregation, some have been baptized, some are still as inquirers. We don't yet have the minimum of 2 men necessary under the form of government of the Reformed Church in Japan to establish a session and become a particular church. However, with the men who are attending, the new men who are attending, as well as the old, and we are optimistic that over the next term we'll be able to begin officer training and elect elders for the church. Outside of this primary ministry to the Kitomimazu Church, I've also continued to do theological education and have been involved in preparing a revised translation of the book of Hebrews along with Japanese Bible scholars. We are doing a major revision of one of the 2 primary Bible translations used by Protestant churches in Japan. I do my work on that. My Japanese is really not up to preparing Bible-quality Japanese language sentences. So I do my work together with Kobe University linguistics professor Yo Matsumoto. He helps with the Japanese problems. He doesn't read Greek, but he helps me with the Japanese, and I help with the Greek. The particular thing that we have noticed as we've been working through the book of Hebrews is that the earlier translations often ignored the linking words, conjunctions, which link one sentence or one clause with the sentence before it, and are integral to understanding the flow of logic, particularly in the letters in the New Testament. But because of Japanese stylistic considerations, those particles, those conjunctions, were often ignored in the earlier translations, and to the detriment of the reader. You can't follow the logic so well. Since the start of this term, I've also been teaching New Testament Introduction at NTI at Kobe Theological Hall. Kobe Theological Hall is a seminary, or sort of really a partial seminary, of the Reformed Presbyterian Church Japan Presbytery down in the Kobe area. Students can go there for a couple of years, part-time, finish the equivalent of about 1.5 to 2 years of a Master of Divinity program, and the credits are recognized by Pittsburgh, the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Pittsburgh, where they then go after 1.5 to 2 years and can complete their Master of Divinity. And several students have done that and are now either ministers or eligible to become ministers over in Japan. Each term, I go down there and teach a 4-hour block on either Thursday or Friday evening. It takes about 2 years. There are 3 terms a year, and it takes about 3 years to complete the whole New Testament curriculum. Since completing my PhD dissertation, which I brought here for anybody who wants to glance at that, at the University of Wales in 2010. I've also been teaching 3 Old Testament courses at the seminary where I used to teach before, full-time, Kobe Reformed Theological Seminary. This is the seminary, denominational seminary, of the Reformed Church in Japan, which is the church we work with. Both of these teaching opportunities, there I teach Old Testament survey, Old Testament exegesis, and the Old Testament canon. Both teaching at Kobe Reformed Seminary and at Kobe Theological Hall are slated to continue when I return at the end of this year or early January. Finally, the most recent development, I've begun teaching New Testament at Kobe Christ Bible Seminary in Nagoya. This is the as a seminary that has, was begun about 10 years ago by the Presbyterian Church of America, the PCA mission to Japan. The PCA mission to Japan works with a different Japanese church. It's the Presbyterian Church in Japan. It's a significantly smaller, but still faithful church that we have a relationship to as well. Amazingly, much to my surprise, this class that I taught, this was like a two-month period. I went down five times and taught for like 5 hours each time I went down and went through an abbreviated New Testament introduction course there. We had 25 students, which is far and away the biggest seminary class I've ever seen in Japan. And several of those students were from the Presbyterian Church in Japan. A number of them are just sort of laymen who want to increase their Bible knowledge, but there were a number that were also ministerial candidates as well. Finally, let's see. Oh, when I go back, they've asked me to teach, starting in January, a regular course as part of their curriculum on the Gospels. So I plan to be doing that starting next January. I would like to thank the Lord and you, his people, for this great privilege of serving him in Japan, both in Numazu, Kobe, and also most recently in Nagoya. Please continue to support the worldwide outreach of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and support that with your prayers as well as your offerings. In particular, we would ask your prayers for the congregation there. The congregation, in our absence, quite a number of the activities that we've had that have brought new inquirers in, those activities are largely on hold, except for the Lord's Day worship and classes on the Lord's Day. We pray that the Lord will continue to minister to his people who are members, but also to the numerous inquirers that he has sent our way. Pray that the Lord may pour out his blessing upon them through the preaching of his word, and may he shape and mold several of the young men whom he has sent to us into godly heads of households and elders for his church. I would also like you to encourage you to think about serving the OPC, the OPC in Japan as missionaries. We are in need of new missionaries, missionary associates who come over for a short term, usually in 2 or 3 years, but also permanent missionaries. This is a picture of, other than my wife and myself, the rest of the missionaries from the OPC who serve with us over in Japan. On our left is the Cummings, and then in the back, the Uemotos, and then in the front, the Yayagashis. At age 58, I'm the youngest missionary on the field. Two, the Yayagashis and the Cummings, are at retirement age. The Cummings are actually the pastor, and the Uemotos are a little bit older than we are as well. So all of us are either at or near retirement age. We are in need of new missionaries. Japan is far and away the least evangelized field where the OPC has foreign mission work going on. My wife told me that she found on the Wycliffe Bible Translators site that Japan is the only major nation in the world, however you define major, that is considered to be an unreached people group. Less than 0.5% of the Japanese people would be considered Protestant Christian. And out of that, there's also a good deal of liberalism in the Protestant church as well. 125 million people, but less than 0.5% reached with the true gospel. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth more laborers into his harvest in Japan. Any questions or comments? Looks as if we've got at least 10 minutes or so. Yes. So that is a bit of a complex question. Lots of Japanese people will tell you that they're not religious. I think that the reality is that most Japanese peoples, their primary religious affections lie with Buddhism. Buddhism is an imported religion that came to Japan around 700-800 AD. But before that, they have what they call Shintoism, which literally means the way of the gods. And it's basically animism. In Shintoism, they believe that there are gods in the sort of natural phenomenon. At the top of the heap, you have the sun goddess, which is believed to be where the emperor is descended from, according to their mythology. But a Shinto shrine, typically, if there's a big waterfall, there'll be at least one, maybe several Shinto shrines near the waterfall because they believe that there's a god in the waterfall. If there's a big mountain, there's always two or three Shinto shrines at the top. I've never climbed Mount Fuji, but I'm sure there's a bunch of them up at the top of Fuji because there's got to be a god in the mountain also. So that's the indigenous religion, but most Japanese practice some of both. There are certain festival occasions where they typically will be going to a Shinto shrine. Your daughter turns, I think it's age 4. They dress her up in a kimono and take her off for a purification ceremony at the shrine. If you want a traditional Japanese marriage, that's done by a Shinto priest at a Shinto shrine or somewhere else, or you pay the Shinto priest to come and do the ceremony. Although probably more than half of the ceremonies are done in Christian ceremonies now, because that's become very popular. But still, the traditional thing is a Shinto ceremony. However, the most significant religious activity in the life of the average Japanese family is a funeral. And funerals are almost universally Buddhist. And they pay a huge amount of money to a Buddhist priest to come in and do various different rites and incantations designed to help the dead spirit of your departed loved one. And the commitment, ensuring that happens and paying a large amount of money to make it happen, shows the depth of commitment of these people, even though they would, on the surface, many of them would say, oh, I'm not very religious, I don't really believe that, whatever. Well, then why are you paying $30,000 to a Buddhist priest to do the funeral service? So it's not an easy question to answer, but that's my take on it. Yes, in the back.
I was just wondering, what is their reaction? Like, what is their reaction when they find out? When they find
It varies. Some people are delighted. Some people are then in a quandary because their family still expects them to show up at the Buddhist funeral and offer up incense and prayers for the dead spirit. So it varies. If we've done a good job and the Lord is gracious and works in their heart, then they don't want any part of the idolatrous worship anymore. But it's often a temptation for many who are converted. It can, but at least in Japan, it typically is short-lived, I would say. There are exceptions where it's permanent, but oftentimes, after a while, the family ties are strong enough that even though there's an offense to begin with, they eventually get back together. I encourage the people when I'm working in inquirers' classes to talk to their family long before there's a funeral, so that there will at least be some understanding that this is, and it won't be simply an emotional reaction right on the spot, but they will have prepared their relatives ahead of time to realize that if there's a funeral, well, yes, they'll attend, but they're going to stay seated. They're not going to go up to the altar and pray and offer incense. We which is really the my wife and I, we try to avoid these entirely, but if we have to go, we stay seated and we keep our eyes open so that they don't think we're praying to the dead spirits. One time I pray with my eyes open. Yes?
After the earthquake and tsunami, was there a huge surge of opportunity to, I mean, did that just leave these people like, what was that all about? And were they seeking something different than?
Well, let's see. The earthquake and tsunami, the center of the earthquake was right about where this S is in Sendai. It was about maybe 60 or 70 miles off the coast of Sendai. We're down here. By the time the wave, which was like this, and also worked its way around and up here, the worst of it was from about here, somewhere around here, up to about here. By the time you get around these peninsulas here, the power of the wave was much lower. So where we are, which is kind of in a bay on the other side of this peninsula, I think it was like 1.5 to 2 meters by the time the wave reached us. And the low-lying areas that are inhabited all over Japan all have a very high seawall that's intended to protect against it, and usually is pretty effective. And certainly in our area, there's no way that it was going to breach the seawalls. Up here, the wave was much more massive than anything could have prepared for. And they consistently breached the seawalls, in some cases totally destroyed them. But where we are down there, we had about 3 minutes of shaking, which was far and away the longest I've ever had. But we didn't have any damage to the church, and most... I think Tokyo area was about the closest area that had serious damage to some of the buildings. Actually, there was a Costco there. The parking ramp fell on 2 cars and killed some people at a Costco in the Tokyo area. But where we were, there was little or no damage, and no damage from the tsunami. So in terms of the effect on the people, there was certainly nationwide a very somber mood that prevailed for months afterwards, and I think made people a little more thoughtful, perhaps, and certainly many of us preached some sermons from time to time that took advantage of that. But I think that, you know, you'll definitely find stories of people who up in this area, from, you know, here to here, missionaries and pastors and so on up there that found opportunities to talk with people directly and share with them about the Lord in the aftermath. But I think that in this area up here, it's going to be years now, from now on as well, that there's going to be an openness probably, especially because of the massive relief efforts that churches and missions have done, including the OPC. I think that has produced a lot of really good goodwill in those people. I've seen it when I've been up there and heard many reports of it from the missionaries who are up in that area.
It's the Uematos that are up there, right?
Uematos Cummings are right there in Sendai, which is the closest. Sendai is right on the coast, and the heart of the earthquake was right off of it, so that was the worst. The Ayagashis are inland, but that whole area there definitely, psychologically, spiritually, they're going to be lasting effects for years to come. And our hope is that the two relief centers that have been started, one by our mission together with other missions, another by one of the local congregations, that those relief centers eventually will become places that we can start evangelistic outreach missions and so on, even though they're still focused on relief efforts at this point.
Well, I think we're going to have to probably conclude at that point. Elder Hibbets, would you be willing to pray for the work in Japan?
Yeah, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the outreach. We thank you, Father, for the great commission that you've given us and the fulfillment of that great commission that we have missionaries in Japan. We ask, Father, that you bless the efforts there, be with the people. We thank you so much, Father, for the conversions and the work of your hand that we see there, that we've heard about this day. We ask that you would bless those efforts, be with those people, be with the missionaries as they seek the lost and as they seek to carry out the Great Commission. We thank you again, Father, for this day of worship. Bless us as we gather together in a couple minutes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Lauer. And if you guys have more questions, please ask him after the worship service. I'm sure he'll be glad to tell you all about them. So.